Hello, everyone. Pajagut de Torah. We are learning the second mimer of for Daf 27, starting at Daf 26 on the base. And here we go. So the Dibur Maschil is Ki b'yayim hazeh yechaper lechem etarascham et kol chadisichem b'pnei Hashem titaro. So we're going to explore between this mimer and the beer of the mimer. And the next off, explore three questions. First, why does it say Latar and Titaru twice? With the idea of Tahara, why does it repeat the idea of Tahara twice in the Pasuk? Second question is, why do we need 10 full days to reach the Kapara, and only in Yom Kippur we get the Kapara? Why can't Hashem just forgive us immediately if we do tshuva? Third question is, the idea of tshuva is returning face to face to Hashem and coming close to Hashem. And that being said, how can one come close to Hashem if Hashem's everywhere? So therefore, if Hashem's always here, present, then what does it mean to come close to Hashem face to face? To answer the third question, we give an analogy of two people that stand. They're standing next to each other, but they're actually, their backs are, they're standing back to back. So really, even though they're close in physical proximity, they actually could not be further apart from each other. Because even though they're physically close, spiritually, I guess, or emotionally, or whatever way you'd call it, they're really not close because they're not face to face. Just like it says in Parshas Ki Tisa, Isa Secheirai Ufanai Leirao, that we don't see Hashem's face, that we don't see, connect to Hashem's pnimius, Hashem's inward, the inner dimension of a person or of Hashem. So, like we say in Berachas Kayanim, Yar Hashem Panai V'lecha, meaning that the Hashba, this divinity that's coming from Hashem, specifically from his panim, from his pnimius, should come be bestowed on us and give us vitality. Not like the nations of the world, or at least Amalek or other nations that are negativity and evil, that Hashem gives vitality to cause it to exist, but not because it's willingly wants it to exist, but rather almost like a person that command shade basar kasfoy, that like Hashem like is like almost like a king that just throws the food over his shoulder, like backhandedly, but not willingly. It's like the leftovers, spiritual leftovers that gives the vitality. But with regards to a tzaddik gets the hashpa from Hashem, specifically from the most inner will of Hashem. And that is with joy and gladness of heart. And so too, we understand the idea of tshuva, that it says, ki fanu alai oiref, the first half, the pasuk, ki fanu alai, there's a pasuk in Yirmiyah, that fanu alai, that we turn, that Hashem turns to us, or we turn to Hashem when we do Torah mitzvahs, but if we don't, sorry, but that's only in the level of Oiref. It's not from the Pnimius Ratzain, because essentially you can do Torah mitzvahs, but if you don't do Torah mitzvahs with a love and a tshuka and a desire to connect to Hashem, but rather you're doing, learning Torah like it says in the Pasuk in Yeshaya, mitzvahs and nashim melumada, and you're learning Torah like and doing mitzvahs by rote with a coldness to it, and the tshuva, then you're really not connecting to Hashem face to face. You're connecting to Hashem's back, or back to face, or face to back, or back to back. But if you really want to connect to Hashem face to face, what you have to do is really have a desire to do Torah mitzvahs with a real tshuka and real. And that's what tshuva really is. Tshuva is to say, tell Hashem, no, I don't want to just do Torah mitzvahs by rote with a coldness. I want to do Torah mitzvahs with besimcha, v'tuv levav meirav koil. Now, how do we make this desire and to for termitus permanent and really established in our soul. Our sages say that Gadol Talmud Shemevi L'di Maisa, that great is Torah learning for brings about action. So it seems the whole question we're going to ask right now here is, what is greater, Torah or mitzvahs? So it seems on one hand, mitzvahs are greater because the whole purpose of Talmud is for the sake of doing the mitzvah practically. But so as they just say, if a person learns Torah without the practical application elements, without the intention of practically applying the Torah knowledge that he learned, it's as if it's better off he wasn't even born. It's a very strong expression. In the Gemara Yishalmi, it says that, quotes the pasuk in Mishlei, that's kol chafatzim leishvava, that all desires do not equate to Hashem. So meaning that meaning even chafetz shemaim, meaning to say chafetz shemaim are the desires of heaven, which are the mitzvahs. So essentially what the pasuk in Mishlei is saying, as explained in the Yerushalmi, that even mitzvahs don't compare to Torah. Yeshuvah, it's not equivalent to Torah. The learning Torah is greater than doing mitzvahs, according to this pasuk in Mishlei, based on the Yerushalmi. Now, in the Gemara in Ma'id Katan, that we brought down the teaching of Gadol Talmud Shemevi L'di Maisa, that it brings down that pasuk, and then also another pasuk in Mishlei. So the pasuk that we just quoted from Mishlei was V'chol chafatzim le'yishuvah. Sorry. Yeah. But then there's another pasuk in Mishlei, earlier in Mishlei, that says V'chol chafatzach le'yishuvah. Your desires. So your desires, V'chol chafatzach, that doesn't include Hashem's desire, the desires of heaven, meaning doesn't include mitzvah. So that pasuk is saying all worldly desires doesn't equate to Torah and mitzvahs. So it's kind of putting Torah and mitzvahs on the same level and not saying that Torah is greater than mitzvahs. So the question is, what's better? Is Torah greater than doing mitzvahs, or is mitzvahs on the same level? So therefore I should do the mitzvahs. So really the pasuk that implies that you should do the mitzvahs, that mitzvahs are on the same footing as Torah, that pasuk was only talking about a case where it's impossible to do the mitzvah for someone else to do the mitzvah for you, that you're the only one that's able to do the mitzvah. But as explains in the Gemara in Ma'id Katan, that the pasuk that alludes to the idea that Torah is greater is specifically when someone else is able to do the mitzvah. So therefore, it's better off that you forego doing the mitzvah and you learn the Torah. But now the question we have here, very strong question, if that's the case, based on this Gemara, then if we know that the whole purpose of learning Torah is to understand the practical application of the mitzvah and to practically apply the mitzvahs, then why would we forego doing the mitzvah and have someone else do the mitzvah if they're able to do it? Why wouldn't we want to practically apply the Torah knowledge that we're learning and do the mitzvah ourselves? So we also have to understand what our sages say, that anyone who learns Torah, the Torah of the korbanos, specifically the korban of the burnt offering, it's as if he brought the oil of the burnt offering. And anyone who learns the Torah of the meal offering, it's as if he brought the meal offering. Now, the question is, we know that these are all mitzvahs that are dependent on a base of mikdash, and specifically a kohen has to be a part of this, the korban, bringing the korban. And so how can we say that literally it's just considered as if you, the Israelite, the non-Kohen, that is not in the Beis HaMikdash, does not have an altar, how can we possibly say that it's as if you brought it? No, we don't have, there's no claim. So how can we say it? So the answer, we can explain all this as we move on to the next column in Daf Chaf Zayin Amud Aleph, that by explaining the whole concept of the advantage of Torah in general, which is a mitzvah for every single person to learn all the mitzvahs. So it doesn't matter if you're Kohen, you're Levi Yisrael, you have to learn all of the mitzvahs of the Torah, all the halachas. Even the halachas that not every single person needs, that needs to practically apply. For example, to become a Rav, you don't necessarily need to know every single detail because you can just go to a Rav to ask the question. But like the laws of Isser v'Heter, but still the Torah demands that we learn all those halachas. Also, the Torah demands that we also even learn the laws that only a judge, a dayan, would need to know. Like the even though normally we wouldn't need to know those laws on a practical level, because if we ever had a case, we would just take it to the courthouse. Now, moving on to Ois Beis, the concept here, we have a concept that the Pasuk in Veschan and Vahayu Dvar Ma'ila in the Shema, it says, V'dibartabam b'shivtuch b'veisecha. Now here we're analyzing what does it mean, Hadvarim Ha'ila? Are we talking about these words should be upon your heart? You should speak about them. And the question is, it says Dvarim Toi, Dvarim, and Vidibartabam. So the question is that referring to the words of the Kriya Shema or to learning Torah in general? So it seems like the words Hadvarim Ha'ela in this, we're talking about the first paragraph of the Kriya Shema, that is meaning that these words of the Shema itself, because we have a mitzvah of Kriya Shema to say in the morning and the evening, right? But we don't have the mitzvah to say Kriya Shema all day long. So how can we say and when you're going on the roads, meaning you have to constantly be saying the Shema? So the whole idea is V'dibartabam is talking about Divrei Torah. And Hadvarim Ha'ela is referring to the actual saying of the Shema, Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, and then going into the paragraph of the Haftah. So it is known, now transitioning to explaining, what does it mean, the word Echad in the Shema? The Echad means that Hashem is completely one in the heavens and the earth in all four directions, just like Hashem is completely alone or a one before the creation of the world. And similarly, it's written in Malachi, Ani Havai Leishan Yisayim, Hashem is not changed, because literally the whole world is considered as nothing before Hashem. The expression is Chayla Kamei Kala Chashif. It's considered as not. The whole world is considered as not. So it means that the worlds, the physical worlds and all the spiritual worlds, they're not toifus makam, they don't take up actual space. But when we say Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Olam Vod between the Shema and Behavta, that is referencing Hashem's level of Malchus, Malchus Malchus Kol Olamim, that the level of Hashem's Malchus is creating the worlds from out of nothing, absolute nothingness, as it says, Yachid Chayei Lamim Melech, that Hashem is completely one and singular, and he is the king, and he is able to relate to the world in the level of Malchus. That only when we're talking about, when we say Chayla Kamei Kala Chashiv, That is only referring to Kamei, meaning Kamei means Hashem beyond the level of Malchus. When we're talking about Hashem beyond the level of Machos, that aspect of Hashem is literally the worlds don't even exist and don't take up any space at all, don't have any existence. But when we relate to Hashem's Malchus, that is the aspect of Hashem, the lowest level of Hashem, that is able to come down here through multitudes of Tzimtzumim to reveal Hashem's Malchus. Now, Ve'ilazis v'habta sevay l'kecha. So we, now, despite all this, we still, that's why the Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Elamvad helps us reach this level of loving Hashem in the most literal sense. Meaning, in order to have the love in one's heart, to nullify oneself to Hashem, and to be included in Hashem's infinite light, that's how we need to have this deep love and yearning and desire for Hashem, so that way we can become totally nullified to Hashem and reach that state where we really we don't take up any space in Hashem's eyes. And that is the connection between the echad of the Shema and the Vahavta, that the level of echad is drawn down to have this love in the soul of man for Havaya to become Elokecha. And how do we accomplish that? Through Asa Katara, through learning Torah. As is written, Oita Or Kasama in the Tehillim, that the Torah is like a garment of light that enrobes us. The light of the Torah is essentially the light of the Ein Sof that's enclosed in the Torah. So therefore, really, the Ein Sof is surrounding you when you're learning Torah. And on this, it actually says in a pasuk in Daniel that Levushei Kislag Chivar, that his garments are like snow white, as white as snow. So what does that mean? It means that the whole idea is that the idea of snow is an analogy for understanding Hashem's wisdom as it comes down from supernal wisdom that is completely beyond our ability to understand and appreciate, like water droplets in the clouds, and then it has to freeze like snow. And then it's comes down in, I guess, frozen, so to speak. And then it comes down here in the most physical world and melts down on the ground and it is revealed to us for us to be able to appreciate and learn it. So we have the Hashem's Chachma, and that's how our wisdom is able to relate to Hashem's wisdom, but specifically through this process of freezing and becoming snow, so to speak, allegorically, and coming down here. Another pasuk in Daniel says, "Se'ar reshe kamar neke," that the hair of his head is as white as wool. So the hairs, this white hairs, is an analogy for the hamshacha of the detailed halachas of the Torah. As we say in Shir HaShirim, Kvutzei Sav Taltalim. These Taltalim are locks of hair. It's brought down that the Taltalim, these hairs, are Tili Tilim Shal Halachas. They're actually, the hairs represent the halachas of the Torah, which are drawn down from as hairs. They're not actually part of the brain, but it comes from the head. So it's very indirectly and through many tzimtzumim, kind of a direct result from the brain, and a very, very, after a lot of tzimtzumim. Now we have a pasuk in Tehillim that says, "Niflesecha machshvisecha eleinu, ein areich elecha agida vadabera atzmu misaper." That in order to have this hamshacha of Niflesecha machshvisecha eleinu, that Your wonders and your thoughts are upon us through learning Torah that is before us, that we are able to enclose the Torah in the most physical sense, which is alluded to by the last two words of the pasuk, Atzmu Misaper, through many Tzimtzumim, the Atzmu, the Tzimtzum, which are ad infinitum. And in order to, from the infinite Hashem, to reach us, to relate to us in this physical, lowly world. And that's what it means, the word erech, like inaroch. The word erech means finitude. For example, what is an example of something that's be'erech? Be'erech would be one and a million, or one and 100,000. That they're still be'erech to each other, because they're both numbers, and you can eventually get to a million with them enough number ones. But compared to Ein Sof, which is completely beyond the idea of number or any limitation, is you can't, you have, there's no, it's not be'erech, so you have to say that Hashem is be'ein aroch. We have a pasuk in Mishle, salsalaha usrei memeka. So what does salsalaha usrei memeka means? Salsalaha means to comb or to turn and separate the hairs of a person, so that the way they won't be tangled, like combing the hairs. And as sages say, this is from the Gemara in Megillah, that lo yadu rabbanan mai salsalaha, that the rabbis did not know what the word salsalaha meant in the pasuk until they heard the maidservant of Rabba, that she was telling this guy that what are you doing with the turning your hairs all the time? You're always salsala, your mother's salsal the hair. So this idea of silsal of the hair is to separate and not let there be confusion amongst the halachas, because we said that the halachas are the hair. So in the Gemara, we have confusion about what's the final halacha. So we have debates and contrary halachas and getting the case in the halacha right, until we're able to refine that and comb it out, so to speak, and reach the final halacha. And so that's why the second word of that pasuk is usrei memeka, that the soul, through this process of silsul, of combing the hair, or learning Gemara, and coming to a practical halacha, where you become elevated, we become Yisraimim from this. And we reach this white, this level, like the Pasuk in Daniel we quoted earlier, Sa'ar Reishin, Kamar Nekei, that the hair of the head is like, it was white as wool. We reach this purity of refinement and of the halacha, of the source of the Torah, which is only a garment. Of, like we said, Oita Erka Salma. But that's not the case with regards to the Hisraimimus that's higher than the idea of a garment, which actually touches into the very essence, the Orient Sof Mamish, the most literal way. So now moving on to Ois Gimel, the third Sif of the Mimer. When we meditate, when a person meditates, that through this process of combing the hairs, meaning silsil halachas, meaning learning the halachas of the Torah, and coming to clarity in what's the halacha of the halachas of the Torah, we become elevated. Our souls become elevated to Hashem's essence, as we spoke just now, in the most literal sense. Through that, we can reach a great joy in the Chedvas Hashem. It's the Ayin Sof Baruch Hu Mekar Chayim Mekar HaTanugim. That Hashem's essence is the source of life and the source of pleasure. It's even greater than all of the pleasures of this world. Even the pleasures of Gan Eden, the lower Gan Eden, higher Gan Eden, because Gan Eden is only a ray of Hashem. And the level of ray of Hashem, of the Ziv, they said that by Acher says Mutav Ledaine. And how much more so when a person puts all of his effort into being Oisik B'Torah and learning Torah and making it his business on Torah, that he gets this pleasure of coming close and one with Hashem face to face, which is the source of life and pleasure. Now, this pleasure that we experience, that we receive when we learn halachas, it's not always revealed in the most revealed sense, because the tainug is so great. The tainug that a person receives or experiences or doesn't experience when they're learning the Torah and learning the halachas and learning Gemara and coming to the understanding of the halachas, it's such a great tainug that the soul is not even able to even appreciate or grasp this tainug. Therefore, it doesn't come in a revealed sense to normal people, because our intellectual capacity is just too limited to really appreciate the full extent of this tainug. But if we do a proper zbaninus, then we can really appreciate this oinig to a certain extent and this revelation, because we can at least appreciate the fact that we receive it, but our intellect is still limited to a certain extent that we're not able to grasp the full extent of this tainug. In regards to learning Torah, which is on the level of the levushei kislakivar, the garments, the snow white garments, it is known that thought and speech of a person are the person's garments, right? Thought is the levush panimi, the inner garment. Dibur is speech is an intermediate garment. And if that's the case, that when a person's soul is enclosed in the thoughts and speech of Torah, then essentially he becomes enclosed in the garments of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself in the most literal sense. And you cannot get closer to Hashem than this. Similarly, by way of analogy, like the idea of two people being covered by one talis. So it's almost like a very intimate experience with Hashem and unity with Hashem when we are learning the Torah. From this, it's understood that which in the second parsha of the Kriya Shema, we say, V'nasati matar artzachem. What does it mean, V'nasati? That Hashem will give you rain in the proper time, grass at the proper time, the grass in the fields. Now the question is Moshe Rabbeinu is, you know, the one saying this, right? So, but really, it's a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But the whole idea is there's a concept called Shechina Medaberes Mitoich Greinoi Shel Moshe, that the Shechina speaks from Hashem's mouth. But the reality is that not only Moshe is saying this, but we say the Shema. So, in a certain sense, we are promising this, and this spark of Moshe that's within us, we are able to draw down this bracha. And through saying first, L'havas Hashem L'kichem, L'avde b'chol v'avcham, b'chol nafshachem, that's the mysterious nefesh. And it's not for the sake that one should For the sake that one should not be able to be kaifer in Hashem, but rather the whole idea is to the idea of loving Hashem with all our koiches is the idea of having a bittel, a certain level of nullification, nullifying any arrogance, gasa ruach, that a person might have. As our sages say, that anyone that has gasas ruach, arrogance, says if he should be cut down like an asherah tree, an idolatrous tree, an idolatry. So, literally, when a person has arrogance, he's literally, it's as if he's worshiping literally like he's a source of idolatry, because he makes himself like he's someone separate from Hashem. And he needs to have this level of bittul and mesiras nefesh to Hashem. Meaning that just like it is known from the Maamar Maida Menachem Lach, that we are completely subservient to you, that the Haida is to Hashem, completely acknowledging, given over, and totally nullified to Hashem, that it's completely nothing. The whole creation that is something from nothing is really to recognize that all the physicality of this world is not something separate, but it's all part of Hashem, one with Hashem. And this bittul that we reach should be drawn down and revealed in order to reveal the light of the Orient Sof in the most literal sense in his soul. And therefore, even the reader of the Shema, you and me, when we say the Shema, we can say Venasati, and I will give, because when we are so batal to the Orient Sof that's revealed in the person in us, or in the person that's saying the Shema, he's literally able to bring down this bracha, that as if Hashem himself is really saying those words himself. And through this, we find that our sages say that Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim, that you say Beis Shammai will say one thing, Beis Hillel will say something totally different, or Abai and Rava. So the whole question is how can you have two words of Hashem at the same time that's seemingly contradicting? But the reality is that since both have the words of Hashem, are speaking the words of Hashem, it's not a contradiction. They're just expressing Hashem's will and words in multiple facets. And this, we see this idea so apparent of how Hashem is literally able to speak through a person by the Beis Yosef, the Mechaber. Then his says that Ani a Mishnah Medberes Beficho is a very famous one of his famous farim that is essentially. Essentially about the idea of like literally the Mishnah is like a metaphorical, I guess, person, so to speak, that's literally speaking in his mouth. So essentially the Beis Yosef is saying that Hashem is literally speaking through him. And that's the koyach of the Torah, that you're able to have Hashem speak through you. Now, that's all the advantage and power of learning Torah. But fulfilling mitzvahs has a different angle. Essentially, it's specifically the mitzvahs of Melech. You're doing Hashem's ratzon. And that is connecting to Hashem's malchus, as the energy that Hashem uses to create the worlds in a little limited sense. Like we say in the Ashrei, Malchuscha, Malchus Kol Elamim, V'mem Shaltucha B'chol Deir V'Deir. We say all worlds, Hashem's Malchus is Malchus of our Kol Elamim, meaning all physical space and place. And the second half of the pasuk, when it says generation and generation to generation, implies that Hashem is king also for all time. So the pasuk includes Hashem's kingship over all space and time. And the idea of space and time is not shaykh to Hashem as he is beyond the level of machos. So clearly we're talking about the level of machos, just like we say Hashem melech, Hashem malach, Hashem yimleich, Hashem is king, Hashem was king, Hashem will be king. The whole concept of time is only relevant to Hashem's machos, but the Ein Sof is not shaykh to zman or time or place at all. So, and to finish off the third ice, we say that Isak HaTaira is called, we are essentially being like Hashem, being in his image, like B'Tzalmeinu, we say, and it says in Brejus, Hashem created man B'Tzalmeinu in his image. And when we learn Torah, we are being in Hashem's image, which is beyond time. Now, mitzvahs is very much, by contrast, is very much connected to time and space, because you're really only really mainly relating to Hashem, the level of malchus, and that's why we say kidmusenu. So when Hashem created man, b'tzalmenu kidmusenu, the b'tzalmenu is referring to the when we learn Torah. Kidmusenu is when we do the mitzvahs, because that implies time limitations of time and space. Because mitzvahs are dependent on time. For example, the karbanos, the base of Mikdash. That's not the case with learning Torah. There's no time when we can learn Torah, when we can't learn Torah. Are you only allowed to learn Torah on the base of Mikdash? No, you can learn Torah even outside the base of Mikdash. You don't even have to have a kohen. You don't have to have a kohen involved. You don't have to wear any big day kahuna at all. Now moving on to the third column, Amud Gimel of Daf Chav Zayin, finishing off Ois Gimel. But even though Torah is, the whole goal of Torah is to explain the mitzvahs, nevertheless, in machshava, in thought and speech, it's still in a very spiritual place. So it's beyond this world to a great extent. But the mitzvahs, as we practically apply them, that's with action, and that's with our physical body here in this world, most physical sense, so therefore we have much more limitation. Ois Dalad, moving on to Siv Dalad. So we say that Hashem Zelu Mazeh Asalukim in Pasuk in Kehelas, that just like the godly soul is divided into 10 koiches, we have 3 intellectual koiches of the soul and 7 emotional within holiness. We also have 10 spheres or 10 koiches of nefesh in the realm of klippa, in unholiness. So like, for example, chachma, wisdom, we have in kedusha and in klippa, we have this idea. So for example, the Chartume Mitzrayim, the wise people of Mitzrayim, that represent the Chachma of Klippa. Chachamim Hema Lahara in Yirmiya. Shows that the Chachma also exists in Klippa. And so too, by all the Kreichos and Nefesh, we have this idea in Kedusha and Klippa. So the whole idea in Kedusha, all the spheres, all these Kreichos and Nefesh have the element of Bittul to Hashem. Koyachma, Chachma is Koyachma, the power of what, which is the idea of Bittul. And Klippa is all about Yeshus and arrogance and existence. Like our sages say that any Jew that lives in Chutz La'aretz, it's like as if he's worshiping idols. So the whole idea is because Eretz Yisrael is also called Eretz Kanaan. Kanaan, the word Kanaan means hachna and bittul. Hachna means recognition and being totally subservient to Hashem. So it's a land where a place where people can be completely buttled to Hashem. But if it, so essentially the statement of our sages when they're saying that the a Jew that lives chutz la'aretz, what does it mean to live chutz la'aretz? To live with gust, with arrogance. If a person lives with arrogance as if he's offering, is as if he's doing a avodah zarah. Because like it says, yeah, like in Vayis Chana, they worshiping idols, right? He says, Hashem is v'aseh re'ach v'shtach v'itzulahem. Chulei. Now it's written in Vizayis Bracha, Mimeged Tvuyis Shamesh. The sun gives a certain energy to the plantings of the earth. It's similarly called Tzva Shemaim, that Tzva Shemaim, these are referring to the mazalos, the constellations, that we don't even have a single blade of grass that doesn't have a mazal above directing it. So if that's the case, then why can't a person serve them, serve the blade of grass, or serve these constellations, or these, or sorry, serve the, serve, you know, or do a avodah zarah? The reason is because when a person does a avodah zarah, what they're doing is they are recognizing that that blade of grass, lamashal, is an entity on its own, separate from Hashem. And that blade of grass is giving hashpa independently. That's not what's the case. Really, all the hashpa is not from the from that entity. It's really they are just transmitting hashpa directly from Hashem. So, and that's how people came to worship idols. That they basically said that this, or sorry, or even stars. They said the stars have their own spiritual existence separate from Hashem. So therefore, that is arrogance. But that's not the case with holiness in the realm of Kedusha, because everything in the realm of Kedusha is centered around Bittul, the idea that nothing exists outside of Hashem and everything is completely nullified to Hashem. And if that's the case, that one who goes after arrogance and it's considered that he serves idols or serves worship stars, star worshiper. Meaning to say that he is going after honor and glory, which is not what a person should do. But I guess the question is we do have this concept of the importance of wearing fine and beautiful clothing, like the Kohanim would wear special clothes and they would make themselves look special. But that's very different. To wear beautiful clothes and wear appropriate, honorable clothing, that glory, you're not showing that you are something separate from Hashem. You're trying to represent the glory of Hashem. And you are being a complete bittul channel, bittul dika channel, to express Hashem in this world. But everything else in this world, any other aspect of arrogance or haughtiness comes from klipa and sitra achra and unholiness. From here, we can understand what our sages say, that the way of Taira is to have bread and salt and very minimalistic life. And if you live very minimalistically, it says in Pirkei Avos, Ashrecha b'olam hazeh, and et cetera, that it'll be good for you in this world. So how can we wait a minute? That doesn't make sense. What's so good about how can your life in this world be good by eating only nothing but bread and salt and sleeping on the ground and living a life of pain? How can that be good in this world? I understand why it'd be good in the next world. How can it be good in this world? But the whole concept is that when a person has a sense of bittul to Hashem and recognizes that Hashem is dwelling upon him and he's just expressing godliness and he doesn't have any existence on his own, that is the greatest pleasure that a person could ever experience in this world. So that's why the sages say that one moment, 1 hour of tshuva and ma'asim tovim in this world is greater than the whole olam haba, because you're able to have the bittul and pleasure from expressing Hashem. But on the opposite side, the coin, if a person is only spending his whole life going after physical pleasures of this world, he draws down the citra, the side of unholiness of klippa, and just is like, it's almost like he's wearing filthy garments, so to speak, begadim tsayim, and he's just, it doesn't end up being a good life in this world. But when he lives humbly and just focuses his life on learning Torah, doing mitzvahs, expressing Hashem's ratzon, then his heart will be joyous, and he will be able to have the most beautiful, pleasurable life in this world too. Now, if you have haughtiness, what's the solution to haughtiness? It's to cry out to Hashem. Vetzak liba mezuzas anecha, that the heart should cry out with the most innermost depths of the heart. Kerev ish v'leva maik, says in Tehillim, that we want to connect to the Hashem's infinite essence that encompasses all the worlds. Because by in that highest level of Hashem, darkness is light. And Ruchnius and Gashmius is completely equal. So therefore, a person can fill themselves with the proper remorse and embarrassment of the haughtiness that he has caused him that to be upon himself. And then from then on, he can have a firm resolve to lay nevesh lelambad, to never be embarrassed forever. Now, like the mashal of one that goes about naked, a person's walking around naked and nobody sees him, then he doesn't feel embarrassed. But if he found out later on that all these people were looking at him and watching him and everything, you'd be filled with a lot of embarrassment. So that's the case. The same thing would apply in spirituality. Spirituality, the idea is our Torah and mitzvahs are like garments, garments of holiness. So if we don't have those garments of holiness, there are Torah and mitzvahs, it's almost like we are walking around naked and it's embarrassing. So therefore it's so important to have the Torah mitzvahs as our garments, our spiritual garments, so we can get a lach and nachas from Hashem and not be embarrassed. That's why it says in Parshas Ki Sisa, Ki Leirani Adam Achai, that a person cannot see Hashem and live, because Hashem is completely beyond, and we're filled with so much, I guess, embarrassment from our life and our physicality that we can't really see Hashem until a person passes away. But when he does a complete tshuva, then you can actually see Hashem's pnimius es panecha vayavakesh. Meaning to say, to request Hashem's pnimius, the revelation of Hashem's light, in the most literal sense, to return to Hashem face to face. As is written, v'zorakti lecha mayim tahirim, these 13 attributes of mercy, that's the idea of the most primus and source of Torah, which fills all blemishes, and therefore be able to become purified. And the whole idea, this answers the question of why do we need 10 days of tshuva to reach Yom Kippur and have the kapara? Because the 10 days of tshuva correspond to the 10 kriyas nefesh. That each day we transform and correct any arrogance or any klippa any aspect of the koach of our nefesh that's involved in klipa and transform it to kedusha. So the first day on Rosh Hashanah, we transform chachma, transform the negativity of chachma within chachma. Of klipa and transform to chacham of kedusha. Very easy, as it says in the pasuk, or easy ish chacham beinav tikva l'chsil mimenu. And then we reach the level of bittul from the level of chachma. And then through each day of the seres semet shuva, we work on refining and transforming each of the ten koyches nefesh until we reach Yom Kippur, which is malchus, and like it says in Divrei Yamim. Lacha of Hashem Hamam Lacha. And because Malchus is the idea of Bittul, and that's what Yom Kippur is all about. Because on Yom Kippur, we're not allowed to eat or drink or be involved with or wear leather shoes or be involved in physicality. So that's the whole idea of being completely Bittul from any existence, any physical existence. And that's what Malchus is all about. Malchus is Bittul. And that's why we do so many, bow down so many times in Yom Kippur. We prostrate ourselves because the whole idea is to have ultimate level of bittul. And we actually, speaking of the arrogance, we have two levels of gasus ruach. We have chitzonius, we have an external arrogance, and internal pnimius gasus ruach. The chitzonius is where a person knows, if a person only has external arrogance, he knows deep down that he's that his low state, that he's spiritual state, but nevertheless he still considers himself as like something special in his own existence, in his own right. But the idea of pnimius gasaruach is where his entire essence is arrogance. That he really considers himself special and really great, even on his most from the most inner aspect of himself. So that pnimius gasus ruach is even a more difficult thing to correct. And it says that the first, so essentially these two levels of gasus ruach can be corrected through are the pasuk of Rodiber Maschil, because we say in the pasuk Ki Bayemazah Yechaper Aleichem Mataraschem. The word Aleichem implies the correction of the Chitzonius Gasus Ruach to turn that into Bittul, and then the second is through the Mikol Chatei Sichem. That is through transforming the Pnimius Gasus Ruach. And then through that, Lifnei Hashem Titaru, will be able to reach the level of connecting to Hashem and a full level of Bittul with no Gasus Ruach. Because the Torah is the name of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. The Yod, for example, we have the of Yod Kei Vav Kei, Yod is Chachma, because the Torah comes from Hashem's Chachma. But through tshuva, from the depths of our heart, me'umka me'ma'makim k'rasicha Hashem, we're able to draw down havaya and then we can become purified and transform the klippa to become no longer be concealment and have this reach this revelation of sevav kalamim. And that's why the second tablet, second set of luchos, were given davka and Yom Kippur, because that's the revelation of Anechi Velikecha, Anechi Mamish. And in this, we don't have any other gods other than Hashem. And that's specifically through the luchos achrenes, meaning to say that this is the promise that we won't have any Elohim Acherim that conceal this love of pnimius that separate us and Hashem. However, on Yom Kippur, all this is concealed because the Luchas Achrenus was given in private. However, the revelation of the Simcha of the Luchas Achrenus really happened in Simchas Torah, because that's the joy of the Torah that's completely expressed in the most revealed state. And that's the Gilui Oinig HaElyon from the highest levels of Hashem. Baruch Hu, thank you so much and have a wonderful day.